Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us today. We are here in the Atlanta area. It is a little chilly today, but however, God is good. We thank you that you tuned in. And I was thinking when we started 2 years ago, we had maybe 2-3 listeners, but how God has multiplied that to thousands of listeners. And we just want to give God the glory because in the kingdom of God, God is a multiplier. And if you would just start with what you have, the little you have, God, watch God move. God will multiply the little you have. And he can use it for his glory and his kingdom. Tonight we will be teaching on seek the Lord while he may be found. God put it on our heart to bring, I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've seen you last, but we come on as the Lord lead us. So when God give us something that he want us to say, then we present it to you accordingly. Before we start, we always open up with prayer, and I give some announcements. But, Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for this platform on tonight. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings, how you have brought us out of the pit of hell, how you saved us, how you made a way whereby we might be saved. And those that call upon you, Lord, they can be saved. If they would just open their hearts to you, you are there waiting. You say you stand at the door and knock. So I know you're knocking at the hearts of someone who may be listening, someone who may be bound up or depressed, oppressed. All you need to do is seek the Lord, call upon the Lord, and he will answer you. Lord God, we ask that when we go forth tonight that you would word our mouth through your Holy Spirit, anoint us to teach your word, because we are just mere vessels. We don't take credit of anything we do, but we give you all the honor and all the glory. We ask for protection, Lord God, when we go out over the airwaves, that your divine angels protect us from any demonic forces that would try to come and hinder this ministry. We cancel your assignment right now in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over you, Satan, right now, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, Lord God, right now we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, so we're coming out of Isaiah 55, but before that, we ask you, if this program has been a blessing to you, send us some encouragement. Send us an email. You can email us at kogm77@gmail.com. Just let us know you're being blessed. Or if there's anything, if you need prayer or someone to just give you some consolation, someone to talk to, call us. But send us an email and with your contact information, and we will definitely get back with you. Amen? All right, we're coming out of Isaiah 55, and I will read out of the word, and then we will kind of elaborate on what it is exactly saying. And like I said, our scripture is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And we know in this day and time, all you need to do is cut on the radio, cut on the television. I mean, every time you look, it's something tragic happening all over the airwaves, children in school killing teachers. It's so sad that Satan is running rampant. And I have to say this, and the church seemed to be sleeping. The church seemed like, oh, well, they'll deal with it themselves. But if you as shepherds don't show people how to lead them and show them how to seek the Lord, how will they do it? Yeah, we know it's a heart and it's an individual thing, but at least God called you. You appointed, or did he call you, or were you self-appointed? If you're a pastor, you're supposed to, he told Peter, feed my sheep. That's what we have to do. Because the wolf is out there, and he is trying to destroy anyone that don't have any solid foundation in Jesus Christ. So this is coming out of the God's Word translation. It says, the Lord's word will accomplish its task. Listen, whoever is thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money can come, buy, and eat. Well, that would exclude a lot of people, you know, in Hollywood. They think that their money is what validates them. But here out of the word, Jesus is saying, whoever has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You don't have to pay. It's free. Salvation is free. You don't have to pay. He paid the one-time sacrifice. It's free. Why do you spend money on what cannot nourish your wages, or what cannot nourish you and your wages on what does not satisfy you? This is from the Word of God. You go and you spend all your money. You buy elaborate homes and nice cars and all this. And if you don't have Christ, you still feel empty. You still feel void. You make it to the top of the billboard charts and all but to get up there and find you still empty. without God. And he is imploring you to come. Come. You don't need money. All he wants is a sincere heart. Come. This is what he's saying. He said, why do you spend money on what cannot nourish you and your wages on what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and enjoy the best foods. Open your ears. Listen to what the Spirit is saying and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make an everlasting promise to you. The blessings I promised to David. So he is telling you when you come, there is blessings by coming to him. See, God is not a God that would destroy you like the enemy does. All these singers, they think it's something so popular to say you sold yourself to the devil. The devil is going to leave you high and dry, baby, because he's going to use you up. To the young women out there selling your body and you're all over the TV for the enemy just to make some money, you are doing something that is temporary. Because when your body starts getting old, your body getting wrinkled, they're going to push you to the curb. Or a lot of times you get hooked up on drugs. You have you go through one man, one woman, everything. You're doped out, smoked out, drunked out. And you telling me that that's living life abundantly? When Jesus is saying, come. You don't have to have money. Just come. I just want you. Open your ears. This is what the scripture says. And enjoy the best foods. He's giving you the best. God is not giving you leftovers. He's asking you to come to the feast of the Lord. Listen so that you may live. How much he loved you that he has already, he read this in Isaiah, in the Old Testament. This is what he did for you on the cross. I will make an everlasting promise to you, the blessings I promised to David. I made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. You will summon a nation that you don't know, and a nation that doesn't know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, because of the Holy One of Israel. He has honored you. See, when God calls us, we should be drawing the world. The world should be running to us. We shouldn't be running to the world. But yet I see so much compromising in the house of God. I see Christians trying to act like the world, trying to be like the world. The world, according to what I just read, they're supposed to be running to you. These are the promises of God. They should be running to you asking you, how do you live and you feel so fulfilled and your life is so full of joy? What is it you got? I want that because I'm broken, I'm empty. I make good money, but yet my house is in shambles. My wife, we're going through a divorce. Our children is all, but yet you have peace. Yet you have joy, and you don't have a whole lot. This is what the world should be running to you, not you running to the world. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked people abandon their ways. Let evil people abandon their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, and he will show compassion to them. Let them return to our God, because he will freely forgive them. You, look, I'm talking to you. A lot of times you get so full of pride and you feel because you have money and you have made, you got this status quo and you made it to the top of the high echelon that you all that. But what he was saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know what? Because one day you're going to die. I don't care how many billions of dollars you have, how much money you have. When you die, you can't take none of this with you. Now, whether you believe in the Bible or not, you're still going to die. And it would be a sad situation to find yourself in had this been true, this is true, what we're teaching, and when you close your eyes for the last time, you stand in front of an almighty God. Because, see, God is telling you, you seek me now. While you have the activity of your limbs, while the breath is breathing, you have that, you can make a choice. You can turn from your wicked ways. He said, let him abandon, let the wicked people abandon their ways. He said, let the evil people abandon their thoughts. See, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only way you can get that heart cleansed is through the power of the Spirit of God coming in and you becoming a new creature. My thoughts, he said, are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He said, rain and snow come down from the sky. They do not go back again till they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for the farmers. Now, all the prosperity preachers though took this poor scripture and turned it to mean money. But let's go on. And food for my people to eat. This is what he's talking about. This is how his word nourished and it comes forth. This is what he was referring to. He said, my word, which comes from my mouth, is like rain and snow. Now, right here, I just told you, rain and snow comes from the sky. But he said, this is how my word go forth. It goes forth from my mouth like the rain and snow. It will not come back to me without results. So when God speaketh through his ministers, through his prophets or whatever, evangelists, that's the word of God. When we speak the word of God, there's someone out there is going to catch this word, and they're going to have life, and they're going to change. They're going to change. They're going to turn from their evil thoughts, turn from their evil ways, because he said his word brings results. It will come back to me with results. It will accomplish whatever I want, not what I want, but he said whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to do and achieve whatever I send it to do. It ain't got nothing to do with you talking about I'm going to send it out and I'm going to do this. God say, as I see fit. So when he sent his word out, it accomplished what the Almighty God wanted to do, not what Kathy Montgomery wanted to do, but it's through the power of God. You will go out with joy and be led out in peace. The mountains and the hills will break into songs of joy in the presence of all, and all the trees will clap their hands. This is just the promises that God is promising you when you come into him, when you seek him. He said, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, yea, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without a price. You can't buy God. There's no price tag that you can even put out there. Your all the money, Bill Gates and Trump and all them, they cannot buy a place in the kingdom of God. You're going to have to humble yourself at the foot of the cross and come in at the door. All are welcome to the blessings of salvation. To whom those blessings are welcome. In Christ, there is enough for all and enough for each. So satisfied with the world that see no need of Christ, they do not thirst. They are in no uneasiness about their souls. They don't even care. They think we eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. They don't even have no uneasiness, what I was saying, about their souls. They're not even looking at, I'm going to leave here. One day I'm going to give up this breath in my body. They're only thinking about this realm, what they can see right now. Get it all, can it all, and sit on the can. They have no uneasiness about their souls, but where God gives grace, he gives a thirst after it. That's why he said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. When you hunger and you thirst after God, you're going to seek God. You're going to want all that God has for you. You see what I'm saying? He said, so come. Come to Christ, for he is the fountain open. He is the rock's men. Come to holy ordinances, to the streams that make glad the city of God. Come to the healing water. Come to the living water. Revelation 22:17. Our Savior referred to this. Come and buy. Make it your own application of grace, of the gospel to yourself. Come and eat. Make it still more your own. It's a personal invitation. I'm giving you this invitation. Jesus gave you a personal invitation to come. Come. He's inviting you to the table, to the feast of the Lord is going on now. Don't you want to sit at the table of Jesus Christ? The world comes short of our expectations. We promise ourselves at least water in it. We are disappointed. And this is what he was saying. The world seek after all this stuff, all the fortune, all the fame, and just to be disappointed because it's not that everlasting water. It's not that fulfilling water. It's not that water that brings true life. It's a temporary fix. The drugs, the sex, the men, the women, it's temporary. It perishes. Then you find yourself empty. You go through men, you go through women, and you're empty. You take the hit off the drug, you're empty after you come off your high. Jesus said, I give you life. Come thirsty. If you're thirsty, I give you drink. It's free. Amen. The gifts offered to us are such at no price can be set upon it. The things offered are already paid for. It's just like if you would take your credit card and you went to go make a big major purchase, let's say a new card, and you go to write the check and they say, it's already paid for. Somebody already paid it for you. That's what he did for your life. Paid in full. The things offered are already paid for. Christ purchased them at the full price of his own blood. 1 Peter 1:19. Our wants are beyond number, and we have nothing to supply them. If Christ and heaven are ours, we see ourselves forever indebted to free grace. That's where that grace come in, because like you said, we were all sinners. Our punishments was worthy of death, but Jesus stepped in, and he said, I'll take the punishment, and I'll take it upon myself so that by grace ye are saved. It's not by our own righteousness that we should boast, but it's by his grace. You see, all the wealth and pleasure in the world will not yield solid comfort and content to the soul. They do not satisfy even the appetites of the body. He said, for all is vanity and vexation. Let the disappointments we meet with the world help us to drive us to Christ and seek for satisfaction only in him. I'm looking at you. You say, well, how do I get this everlasting life? I'm tired. I'm beat down. I'm cast aside. I've tried the dope. I tried the money. I tried the fame. I'm empty. How do I get this life? And all you have to do is repent. Say, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you are the Son of the living God. I believe you died for my sins. You don't have to have a rehearsed prayer. Just say it out of your heart. Jesus, I'm tired. Lord, I know you're standing at the door knocking. And Lord, I'm going to open my heart so you can come inside. And then you will, then if you don't find rest for your soul, you can't find rest doing it the way in your own flesh. But God will give you perfect peace. God will come into your heart. So you don't have to spend all your money for that which is not bread. You don't have to labor for that which satisfies not. You know, I see so many people that work from sunup to sundown. They forsake their families. They don't spend family time. They don't have no time. All they're trying to do is make that almighty dollar. Don't have time for God. When I say seek, that's how you have to, Lord, I want to take time for you. Lord, let me just set aside. It may not start out an hour, but you could set aside 15 minutes. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Hearken to him diligently. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight in itself, in its fatness. Build yourself up in the things of God. Incline your ear and come unto him. Hear, and your soul shall live. And he will make an everlasting covenant with you. The day you come and you honor the Lord and you fall on your face before God, God will make a covenant with you. You see, behold, he said, I have given for them a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. God will set you up. God will give you the promises. God will give you the blessings of your heart. But first you have to come. Behold, thou shalt be called a nation. God will make you great. And I'm not talking about a prosperity. Like I said, the world should be looking at your life saying, it's something that I want that I know I don't have. Show me how can I get this. How can I have it? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is the gracious offer of pardon and peace, of all happiness. It shall not be in vain to seek God. Now is the word, his word is calling to you, and his spirit is striving with us. But there is a day coming when he will not be found. There may come such a time in this life, in your own life. It is uncertain. It is certain that death and judgment and the door will be shut. When you close your eyes for the last time, that door will be shut. That mercy, that grace, it'll be shut. This is the time now, the day you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. There must not only be a change. There must be not only a change of the way, but a change of your mind. We must alter our judgments about persons and things. It is not enough to break off from evil practices. We must strive against evil thoughts. That's why he said, whatsoever things is of a good report, think on these things. To repent is to return to our Lord, against whom we have rebelled. If we do so, God will multiply to the pardon, and we have multiplied to offend. But let none trifle with the plenteous mercy or use it as an occasion to sin. Did you hear what I said? You know, and I got to talk about this seeker-friendly church. You know, they use grace, and we know grace is for everyone, but they use the grace as an occasion to sin. These Hollywood preachers, you sleeping around, you fornicating. God said don't use it. Yeah, we have grace, but you shouldn't use that as an occasion to sin. Men's thoughts concerning sin, Christ and holiness concerning this world and the other vastly differ from God. So what you think is righteousness, God is saying, I'm not pleased with that. Yeah, I give you grace, but I'm not pleased with your lifestyle. You're talking about prices, bling, bling, and God ain't pleased with that. That's garbage, and it shouldn't even be on TV. But you got some people coveting after what they have. It is a mockery. It's sad that the church is looking like the world. The church is acting like the world. The church is seeking after the same things the world seek after. They're not seeking after Jesus. They're seeking after materialism. They're seeking after fame. You want your name on the front of Time Magazine, jet cover. Well, if I don't get on there preaching the word of God, then I just won't get on there. But I am not going to compromise my faith. God, Christ's holiness, and like I said, is different than the way we see holiness. That's why he said our righteousness is but as filthy rags. God has done and will do it. That's why we have to call upon him. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. So So I just wanted to bring that to you. I hope it was a blessing to you. But we're living in wicked times. The thoughts, wicked thoughts, evil thoughts, premeditated thoughts. Anytime you premeditate to go up there and take a woman, a teacher's life, you premeditate these thoughts. They're wicked thoughts, and they're unrepentant. He said this is a wicked and perverse generation. People, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. He will answer you. Amen. So with that, I hope that was a blessing to you. I'm going to yield the floor over to my husband, Pastor Bob, and he's going to come. And like I said, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. KOGM.net, that's our website, www.kogm.net. And our email is kogm77@gmail.com. There's so much we want to do in the kingdom, but you know it takes money. You know it takes funds. And what we do when we come to you live, we come out of our own pocket. And we take great joy because if it's just one soul that is caught and grabbed from the clutches of hell, the angels in heaven rejoice. So we find great joy in doing that because we know God has our reward. And God is going to reward us for everything we do, everything we see. But whatever you do, let it be out of a pure heart, not out of a covetous, seeker, self-seeking attitude, but let it be out of a clear conscience. And with that, I'm going to be on the floor. You guys be blessed, and we look forward to being with you again. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is truly good. And we thank God for this opportunity again to speak with you and seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, God is good. And one thing I'd like to bring to everybody's attention is that when we seek the Lord, when we turn to God, when we repent, when we get saved, when we change our ways, there are benefits to that. God doesn't just save us and leave us hanging out there. He's with us, and he's with us all the time. And one thing that I would like for you to know and realize is that God is the one with all of the power. He has all of the authority. He's everywhere all the time. He's all-knowing. Did you hear me? He's all-knowing. He's everywhere all the time, and he's all-powerful. Now, that's one thing that I want you to know and realize, that you are on the winning side. The devil is not the winner. The devil does not have total control. Now, that's what I want you to know. Now, the enemy does have power. The enemy does have a time to rule on this earth. But God is the ultimate power. And I want you to be comforted in that. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go directly to the Word of God. I'm going to Isaiah 40. I'm going to read some things to you. Because somebody out there feels hopeless. They feel powerless. They feel like the enemy does have all the power. They feel that they can't break the spell of the enemy. They might be suffering. They may be going through some things. But I want you to know that when God is on your side, and you are a child of God, and you have been adopted into the family of God, and you are in the hands of Christ Jesus, you are in God's hands, nothing can pluck you out of the hand of Christ. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing can separate you from Jesus Christ. Nothing. nothing on the earth, nothing above the earth, nothing under the earth, not powers, not principalities, not death, not life. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, I want you to be encouraged in that. Now, I'm going straight to the Word. God wants us to know in Isaiah 40, he wants us to be comforted in him. Now, the only way you can be comforted in God is to get in God, is to learn of God, is to repent, is to change your life. And the only way you can do any of those things is through God. So the first comfort is coming to God. Now, I'm going to read some things to you. A voice crying out in the desert. Listen to this. Clear a way for the Lord. Make a straight highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised. Every mountain and hill will be lowered. Steep places will be made level. Rough places will be made smooth. Listen, after that, then the Lord's glory will be revealed. And all people will see it together. Now, this is what the Lord said. I didn't say that. The Lord has spoken this. In other words, what the Lord is saying, there's going to come a time when you won't be going through what you're going through. You won't be suffering the way you're suffering. Some people might be having some kind of sickness, some kind of disease in their life. But the Lord said that that won't be forever. There's going to be a time when there will be no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more sorrow. You won't have to climb over the high, hard mountains. You won't have to do that anymore. Because that's something that God will take care of. And he's working on that right now. Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but he's working that thing out right now. And I want you to be comforted and encouraged in that. The word says a voice called out. He said, called out what? And this is what he's saying. Now, although God is in total control, but this carnality, this carnal life, this fleshly body, this natural man is like grass. And it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who you think you are. God says we are like grass in our natural bodies. In our physical realm, we are like grass. Our beauty is like a flower in the field, but the word tells us that grass dries up. So the flowers wither when the Lord's breath blows on them. Yes, people are like grass. God says we are like grass. Grass dries up and flowers wither. But the word of our God will last forever. Did you hear that, people? Everything that God has made and created, the trees, the mountains, the sea, everything, man, animals, everything is temporal. It doesn't last forever. It's going to come a time where everything you're looking at will not exist. But the word of God exists forever. 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 You can't get away from God's word. You can't get away from God. And it really doesn't matter if you don't believe in him or not. God still exists. The word of God is still real and potent and powerful. It lasts forever. It says, go up a high mountain, Zion. Tell the good news. What good news? The good news of the salvation of God. The good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that God has made a way already for his people. The good news that you don't have to die and be lost forever. The good news of a relationship with God. The good news of God being your Father, and the good news that God loves you personally. God is a personal God. He loves you personally. He made a way for you personally to be delivered, to be set free, to come out of the bondage of sin and Satan, to come out of the bondage of depression and oppression. That good news. It's a crowd with a loud voice, Jerusalem. Tell the good news, raise your voice without fear. Tell the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now I have to say, here is your God. What God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh Jehovah. Yes, you are Jesus. It says the Almighty Lord is coming with power to rule with authority. And his reward is with him. And the people he has won arrive ahead of him. So you see that? God is not leaving you out. You see? God loves you. He hasn't forgotten about you. And he never will. I want you to know that. I want you to be comforted in that. Because Satan is trying to tell some of you out there that God doesn't love you. Satan is trying to tell some of you out there that God has forgotten you. Mm-hmm. Satan is trying to tell you, some of you out there, Satan is trying to tell some of you out there that God doesn't care about you. Satan is trying to tell you that it's God that put all this junk on you. But Satan is the one who has done that. But he's lying to you and trying to make you doubt God. And trying to make you believe that God don't care about you. But he does. If he didn't, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you this. If God didn't care about men, this would be a horrible, horrible, terrible, horrifying place to be. Mm-hmm. Because we all would be totally in bad shape. Horrible shape. And he said he's going to rule with authority. But he said his reward is with him. Who is his reward for? His reward is for his people. Those that he adopted into his family. Through his word, through Jesus Christ, through Yeshua, the Son of the living God. Now, God said, like a shepherd, he takes care of his flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them in his arms. He gently helps the sheep and their lambs. He helps the whole body of Christ. He's with everyone that follows after him. But God is so gracious that he reigns on everybody. He allows everybody to live. He allows everybody to eat and to drink. He gives a measure of strength and health to everybody. Because regardless of what people might say, God does love everybody. But God loves everybody, every person on the face of the earth. But it's the error, it's the sin that separates us from God. But God even has a remedy for sin, and it's in Christ Jesus. And all you got to do is repent. All you got to do is ask God to save you. All you got to do is turn to God. And that's a mute issue. That sin issue is a mute issue when you accept God and you accept Christ as Savior. So that's not even the issue there. But sin and wrongdoing will separate you from God. But God even give you the answer for that. Because look at this. When you turn to God and Christ, when you repent, when you seek the Lord, when you seek the Lord, he's even going to give you strength to stay with him. He's not going to even leave you out there in the cold in that area. God is not like us. It's not like men. Well, you buy something from a man or a woman, and when you buy it, it's, all right, that's your baby. Don't come back to me with that. That's yours now. God is not like that. When we accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior, when we seek him, he's right there with us. He's going to help us to live righteous. He's going to help us in the word. He's going to help us in the fight to fight the enemy. God's going to do all that. We're never alone, people. Don't believe that lie from the devil. Don't believe that lie that God is some kind of way tormenting you and some kind of way tempting you and some kind of a way trying to tear you down. That's not God. That's the devil. And he's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ said he's the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. So why would you believe anything that he says? Why? Glory to God. Now, God will give you strength when you depend on him. Listen to this. We're talking about the God that we serve here. We're talking about the God that we're talking about now. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about everything concerning God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I need to make that plain because some people don't understand who God is. So I'm making it plain. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Almighty One. The I am that I am. That same God, hallelujah, that was with the children of Israel while they were in bondage of in Egypt, and God brought them out. I am that I am brought them out of slavery, hard taskmasters, and took them through the Red Sea. Water walled up on both sides of them, and God took them through the midst of the sea. That God, that's what I'm talking about. That same God that was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, guiding them through the wilderness, that God. That's the God I'm talking about. The Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, the All-Knowing One. That one that is everywhere all the time. And he's taking care of you. And he's watching over you. So, yes, your strength does come from a living God. A living God. But this is what he's saying in his word. Listen to this. This is the God that you and I serve. And if you don't serve him, you can. But when you do, listen that at the power that he has. He says, who has measured the water of the sea with the palm of his hand? You know any man that can do that? Or measures the sky with the length of his hand? You know anybody that can do that? Who has held the dust of the earth in a bushel basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale and the hills on a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or instructed him as his advisor? Do you know anybody like that? Who did he counsel? Whom did he consult? Who taught him the right way? Who taught him knowledge? Who informed him about the way to understanding? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? No. God says the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are considered to be like dust on a scale. The weight of the islands is like the dust. All the trees in Lebanon are not enough to burn an offering. Its wild animals are not enough for single burnt offering. All the nations amount to nothing in the presence of the Almighty God. That's who you worship. That's who's on your side. Be comforted in the Lord. Take your strength in Christ Jesus. He's always with you. It says, he considers them less than nothing and worthless. To whom then can you compare God? To what statue can you compare him? Now you just heard the word of God. I'm going to go on. It says, craftsmen make idols, goldsmiths cover them with gold, silversmiths make silver chains for them. The poorest people choose wood that will not rot and search out skillful craftsmen. Listen, to set up idols that will not fall over. Don't you know? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Haven't you been told from the beginning? Don't you understand the foundations of the earth? God is a throne above the earth, and those who live on it are like grasshoppers. We're nothing compared to God. Nothing. Nobody and nothing is in comparison to God. But yet, he calls us to be his sons and daughters. Yet, he invites us into his family. Yet, he calls us to go and be into his kingdom. And he is the Almighty One. Say, God stretches out the sky like a canopy and spreads it out like a tent to live in. He makes rulers unimportant. Did you hear that? So all our faith should be in God because the rulers to God are unimportant. Now, we know that God set up government, and he tells us in his word to obey those that have rulership over us in righteousness. But when it comes to the things of God, he says they don't have any importance. So what that basically means is we should look to God above every man, and we should worship God instead of things. He says he makes earthly judges worth nothing. They have hardly been planted. They have hardly been sown. They have hardly taken root in the ground. Then he blows on them and they wither. And the windstorm sweeps them away like straw. To whom then can you compare God? Who is equal to God? That's what God asks. Who is equal to him? That's why we're saying seek the Lord while he may be found. Say, call upon him while he is near. He is near now. Whenever you hear the word of the Lord, he is near. Whenever you cry out to him, he is near. Whenever you break out the word of the living God, he's near. That's the time that you accept him. Now, the Lord says something else here. He said, look at the sky and see. Who created these things? These things didn't evolve. They didn't just pop out of a Big Bang theory. God created these things. He brings out the stars one by one. He calls them all by their name. He gave them a name, and he knows it, and he calls them by their name. Because of his greatness, of his might, and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Not one of them has moved out of their orbits. They don't just float around in the heavens, bumping into each other. They stay in the place that God placed them. God did that. And I wonder about that many times, because they say out in space there's no gravity. Well, if there's no gravity, what's holding the planets and the stars in their places? Have you ever thought about that? There's no gravity out there. But yet and still, the moon, the sun, the planets, all the stars, they're locked in place. Why is that? How is that when there's no gravity? There's nothing holding them there because God holds them there. And he says it right there in his word. That's what his man said. Not one of them is missing. Not one. All of them is accounted for. Then the Lord said, Jacob, why do you complain? Israel, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my rights are ignored by my God? He said, don't you know? Haven't you heard? The eternal God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't grow tired or become weary. His understanding is beyond reach. Sister Montgomery said earlier that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are high above us, and his thoughts are higher than ours. So that's what he's saying right there. He says that his understanding is beyond reach. God's mind is so far above ours that we would go crazy trying to figure out the ways of God. Try to figure out how he did this and what his thoughts are, and how he created us and how he did what he did. You would lose your mind trying to think like God. The only way we can contemplate the things of God is through his word and what he reveals to us by his spirit. We can't even hardly figure out salvation. Sometimes it's hard for us to even get saved or accept the Holy Spirit or understand his word. So how are you going to compare our mind with God? You can't do it. Don't worry about that. You just seek the Lord. He says he gives strength to those who grow tired. You hear that, people? God will give you strength to those who grow tired and increases the strength of those who are weak. Even young people grow tired and become weary, and young men will stumble and fall. Yet the strength of those who wait with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and won't become weary. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look, we're living in a day and in an age where all we see happening around us, every time you cut on the television, every time you look at the news, you see destruction. You see evil. And I'm going to say it. You see demonic manifestations every day. There are things happening now that I've never seen before in my life. I'm 58 years old, and I have never seen the kind of things that's happening now. Why are these things happening? It's not just coincidence. These things are happening because we have a people that has attempted to strip God out of everything in this country. And when you do those kinds of things, there are repercussions behind that. When you take prayer out of schools, when you take Bible reading off campuses, when you make righteousness wrong, when you don't know the difference between wrong and right, when you get involved in all kinds of occult activity, you say occult activity, well, look at the television. Every time you cut the TV on, you got paranormal this, you got paranormal that, you got ghosts this, you got goblins this, you got demons this, you got Dungeons and Dragons, you got people messing with Ouija boards, you got folks getting all involved in the occult. Every time you cut the television, you got shows about vampires, werewolves, monsters. Well, what do you think that comes from? What do you think that is? The occult is demonic, it's satanic, it's Luciferian, it's of the devil. Now, you might say, well, I don't I don't necessarily believe in voodoo or hoodoo or hexes or vexes or anything. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I mean, it's nothing going to happen to me if I go and play with demonic stuff, if I do charms and do little spells. That's not going to do anything. That's not real. Oh, it's not, huh? It's not. So you see people out there that are on the news, they're getting involved in drugs that does things I've never seen before in my life. They take drugs that cause them to overheat to the point that they strip down naked and run down the street biting people in the face, killing people, gutting people, cutting people's hearts out and stuff. But you don't want God. You want to play with the devil. What do you think that is? Look, people, you can't eat at the table of devils and demons and then at the table of the Lord also. What, you're going to have to let go of all of that. And that's what we're talking about, seeking the Lord. Leave the devil alone. Stop running after the things of the enemy. Stop falling for the traps, because he is a destroyer. He is a liar. He is a killer. He is a murderer. He doesn't love you at all. How many times do we have to let you tell you this, that Satan is against you? He doesn't want you to find God. He doesn't want you to seek the Lord. You're sitting out there, you're listening to me now, and the devil says, don't listen to that idiot. That man doesn't know what he's talking about. And the devil has a trap for you right now. He wants to take you out right now while you're listening to the word of God. I tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you seek the Lord? Why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you accept him as your Savior? Why don't you ask him to come in? Why don't you repent? Well, I mean, if it's not real, it's not going to matter, is it? If all we've been talking about tonight is not real, it's not going to matter. If God is just a fiction of your imagination, if the devil is just a fiction of your imagination, something that somebody just made up, then it doesn't matter. But try it anyway and see what happens. Call on the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. Repent. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Believe that God has raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Believe that God raised up Jesus Christ. Believe that God did a work in Christ for our salvation, for your salvation. Believe that. The scripture says the only thing you have to do is call on him. The word of God tells us all we have to do is call on Christ Jesus. And we can become sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We will be adopted into the family of God. We can step into the kingdom of God. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. And the only way you can worship God in spirit and in truth is when you accept God as your Savior, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because Jesus Christ is the only way, people, regardless of what these folks say. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the light, and everything that you need is in Christ. Look, I say it like this. What the devil, what Satan, what Lucifer, what occults, what demonology, what witches offer is a lie. It's a lie. Why is it a lie? Because it leads to eternal damnation. Now, you can get some of the bling bling You can get some of the money. You can get some of the cars. You can get some of the houses. But your life will be miserable. Your true life will be literally non-existent. You'll be like a zombie, the living dead. And that's all the enemy can offer you is death. That's all. You're a pretty corpse. That's what you are. But in Christ, he offers life, and he offers life more abundantly. It's true life. It's real life. Jesus said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but give the world life through him. I mean, is that hard? The only thing God asks of us people is to live. That's what he asks. To live a righteous, holy life. You don't have to go out and do what these other cults do. You don't have to go out and lay on a bed of nails. You don't have to go out and skin a chicken or something and pluck chickens and do all this kind of stuff and sacrifice the animals and all that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do all kinds of spells and hexes and go out in the middle of the night and holler at the moon. You don't have to do any of that. And God, only thing you have to do is live a life pleasing to God. Read the Bible, study the word, and live righteous. That's all God asks. Keep his commandments. And it's not hard because he's going to help you do that. So what's difficult about it? What's hard about seeking God? I'm going to tell you what's hard about it. It's the devil telling you not to do it. It's your pride. It's your inability to leave what's wrong alone. It's your inability to drop the drugs, to drop the women, to drop the men. But then again, God said, just come like you are. He'll do that. He'll take care of all of that. The only thing you got to do is come. Come and get this free food. Come and get this free life that he has already provided for you. He has already made the way for you. The scripture tells us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet cursing God, while we were yet doing all manner of evil, Jesus Christ still died for us. He still did it. He's already made the way for us. So, with that being said, go ahead on and try. Call out to him. I know some of you out there want to do it. You really do. You really do. I know the enemy is messing with your head right now, though. He's messing with your head. He always does. He's telling you, you don't want that. The life that this man is talking about, following after God, following after Christ, that's boring. Ain't no fun in that. That's what he's telling some of you out there right now. He's messing with your mind. He's messing with your head. He's doing everything he can keep you away or to dull your mind and your ears from accepting the word of God. Why? Because he knows when you accept Christ Jesus in your heart, his power is broken. The devil knows that. Those demons know that. The ones that's standing out there lying to you right now. They know that. You might not know it, but they know that. But why would you believe their lies? Why would you do that? When God in Christ has your deliverance right in their hands. And they want to set you free. They want to deliver you from the onslaught of the enemy. They want to make you whole. God wants to make you whole. God wants to set you free. God wants to save your soul. Yes, he does. Praise the Lord. People, what we want you to know, everything that we're doing, we're not doing this just to be doing something. We're doing this because God loves you, and he wants you to be free. He wants you to seek the Lord while he may be found, while he is near. Because one, if the enemy can get control of your mind and he can keep you from coming to the Lord, that's where he wants you. If he can mess your mind up to the point where you never repent, that's where he wants you. If he wants to, if the devil wants you to, if the devil wants you, one thing about it, the devil wants you dead anyway. He wants you destroyed. But now that you're listening to Kingdom of God Ministry, you have opportunity to thwart all the plans of the enemy, get saved, break his power, break his dominion over your life, repent, be saved, and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus said when you come to him, all that old stuff, it's passing away. And he said you're going to become a new creature in Christ. Amen. So at this point in time, we've said all that we need to say in reference to seeking the Lord. We pointed you to Christ Jesus. We've told you that you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can ask him to forgive you. You can believe that he's the Son of the living God and that God has raised him from the dead. And that's as easy as it is. Then you can just go on in scripture and strength, grow in the grace of God through his word, through prayer, through supplication, and God will be there to help you. But I would like to say this to all of you out there that are depressed and oppressed and have some problems with the enemy. You can email us at kogm.net. We have a particular page on there where you can email us. You can give us some information, and we'd be more than happy to pray with you and call you. And lead you to Christ, because it's Christ that does it all. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. We only point you to God in Christ. That's what we are supposed to do in God. So right now we're going to end it. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for the programming that you have on tonight. Father God, everyone that is suffering with any type of depression or oppression, who are being tormented by the devil, by the enemy, we bind those foul spirits up, and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against all infirmity, sickness, and disease. We come against depression and oppression. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you touch their minds, Lord, that they would receive revelation of your word. Touch their hearts, Lord, that they would have a heart of flesh, a heart that is receptive to you, God. Touch them. Heal their broken hearts. Heal their fragmented hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch their minds. Give them a sound mind, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, heal them, set them free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. We look forward to hearing from you all or to you all. We're going to get back with you at another time. Bless you. Amen. And amen. Mm-hmm.